Christian, my second oldest, is wearing my old Marine Corps flight jacket. And as he's putting it on this morning, he looks at me and goes, "Wow, Dad, you were a lot skinnier back then." My children love me so much. I'm glad that you're here today. And I just want you to know that I love you. I know you love the Lord, and I'm glad that we're here to worship together. Certainly beautiful weather outside, but it didn't keep you from being here today. And I'm glad that you chose and understand your responsibility as a child of God, that nothing should keep us away if we can help it from worshiping our Lord together. I want to ask you a pretty simple question this morning. And I think it's one we often perhaps ask ourselves, and maybe we ask each other from time to time. And it really relates to our obedience. And the question is, do you love God? Let's say I were to stand outside any congregation of the Lord's people on any given Sunday, and I were to take a survey, and I were to ask this simple question to those that were walking out of the church building. How many do you think would answer this question in the negative? Well, probably not too many people, right? I'd say resoundingly, I would probably get probably close to 99.9% of the people would say that they love God. And I would say this is based upon their fact that they think they fulfilled some obligation by being at church on Sunday morning. And maybe it's because they peruse their Bible from time to time and they read a scripture here and there, or maybe they can quote one or two scriptures. So in their mind, they believe based upon those basic facts that they can say, yes, I love God. You know, I've knocked doors all over the United States. I've knocked doors in Russia and in Jamaica and other countries. And it's always interesting the response I get in relation to inviting people to church. Sometimes the response I get is, well, I love God, why do I need to go to church? Interesting response, isn't it? Sometimes people think based upon their goodness, because they buy Girl Scout cookies or help people across the street or pay their taxes on time and they don't cheat, steal, or murder, any of those things, they think based upon the premise of that idea that they love God and they want to follow Him. But I think the world as a whole has a real misunderstanding of the definition of what God's true love is. And I think sometimes we as Christians often skew the same idea of what God's love is. Jesus gave us a simple definition of what He said our love should be. And here's the thing. This wasn't an option or an opinion He was giving us. It was based upon a very straightforward commandment. You know, the Bible tells us that God's commands are not grievous. They're not difficult for us to follow. Yet sometimes based upon our own opinions and ideas, we think we're following God's commandments according to His scriptures. Yet God says, not so fast. Jesus' simple command given to us in John 14:15 was, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we understand that our relationship tied to God is be based on the idea of what love is. And it's the same that it reverberates back to us, that God's relationship and covenant with us is based upon what love is, right? The Bible tells us that God is love, 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We understand that. We read the word love, especially in the form of agape, the highest form of love that we read in the Bible numerous times throughout the New Testament. Yet sometimes I believe our definition of love is completely different than the definition that God gives. So let me ask you another question. Do you love God? But the question I want to ask you now is, would God say that He agrees? You see, that's the question we need to ask ourselves this morning. Would God agree with your definition of what love is? Because if those two don't jive and come together, brethren, then we got a big problem. Because our definition of love should be the same as what God is. God expressed His love for us through the cross of Calvary. John 3:16 tells us that. But at the same time, for us to express the same definition that God says, Jesus laid out the simplicity of what that commandment is by simply saying, if you love me, then you will. Not maybe, not partially, not sometimes, you will keep my commandments. That means forever and always. So, can you say your definition of love is the same as God? And there's a lot of people that say they love God, and the major reason why they say they love others and help other people is because they say they love God. And you've heard me say this before. A lot of people think their definition of good is because they love God. But I've also said it too, that good people don't go to heaven. Christians do. And sometimes people find that hard to understand. Yet God's definition of obedience isn't simply being good, it's being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The prophet Hosea says in Hosea 4 and verse 6, the reason that the people were perishing is because they didn't know God's word. And God tells us He loves us through His word. He tells us His directives through His word. He tells us how to follow Him through His word. And He expresses His love for us through His word and through the cross of Calvary. So we want to understand that professing a love for God is an important first step for us in our lives as Christians. Well, first step, you might ask, what do you mean, first step? Well, for any of us to truly believe and follow the gospel, we have to express the idea of love in relation to what God has done for us. Everybody knows what Jesus Christ did at the cross of Calvary. But Jesus, in reflecting on what He did at Calvary, understood that His love was based upon what God asked Him to do. And Jesus learned obedience because of what He suffered. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 tells us that. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. Here's the idea of love, brethren, to all those that obey Him. So if I want to define love the same way God defines love based upon the first step in my obedience, then what do? I do what He tells me to do. You know, I tell my children and I give them commands of following something, of doing a chore or something, and they do that, I hope, based upon the fact, one, they respect me, but two, because they love me. We've talked about this idea of growing from son or from a child of God or a servant to being a son of God, as the Bible tells us. The servant shall not dwell in the house of the Lord forever, but the son shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And based upon our transpiring to be what we need to be on what we were when we first became Christians and being servants, we do those things for God because we love Him. And I do those things not because I have to, brethren, but because I want to. That's the expression of love that I have to show towards God. And that's His definition of love, is being obedient to His commands. So the first step in my professing it is saying it and also showing it. A lot of people say, well, I thought loving God is the ultimate, the pinnacle, the highest that we can achieve, but this is true. But we say that we love God, but does He agree? If we stand before God on the day of judgment and we say, Lord, I profess my love for You, absolutely, would God say, absolutely, 100% you do? Or would He say, hold on just a second? You see, there was a lot of people in the Bible that professed to love God too, and Jesus said, not so fast. If we look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, those who claimed to be following God thought they were being obedient, but it wasn't according to what God's standards were. What did Jesus say in verse 23? Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity or sin. Think about that response for just a moment based upon those who say they love God, and Jesus said, not according to my standards, I don't even know who you are. You claim to love me, you profess to love me, you profess to follow me, but you don't do it according to my will. How can I profess to have a love for God yet do what I want to do? How can I profess to have a love for God yet worship the way I want to worship, but not being according to the standards that God gives me? Can I truly profess my love if I don't show it according to God's standards? You know, I think we understand, men in marriages, we wouldn't get very far by simply saying we love our wives and not showing them that we love our wives. I guarantee you wouldn't get very far. But we understand love is not simply a verb by which we express it. We also have to show it. And Jesus said, if you want to show me, then do what I tell you to do. But you see, our definition of love is not what God says. You see, we might be tempted to assume that God understands our definition of love, but God suggests otherwise. You think about Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. What did God say there? Your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. A lot of people profess to think they know what God thinks, yet they don't do it according to the standard of His divine word. The Bible makes us complete, right? Makes us knowledgeable, tells us everything we need to know. 2 Timothy 3 and 16 and 17 tells us this. It tells us if we rightly divide the word, we increase in our knowledge. Peter talked about increasing in knowledge and adding Christian graces to your faith that we might grow thereby, right? And if I add those things and I grow in the grace and knowledge, I've never forgotten where I came from when I was baptized into that watery grave and had my sins washed away. So, brethren, if I love Him, I'm going to do what He tells me to do. But obviously, there are a lot of people, as even as we see in the Bible, that profess to follow Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, but the answer lies in finding out how God defines His love. And as we're talking about this week concerning God's Word, we've got to go to His Word to define what He wants us to do. It's not based upon Larry's opinions or Larry's standards. It's based upon God's divine Word for me because it makes me complete. It tells me everything that I need to know that pertains to life and godliness. And it makes sense when you think about it. You consider your spouse or perhaps even your closest friend, your number one best friend in the world. Perhaps it's maybe even a brother or a sibling or something, right? Your closest friend, the love you have for them. And when you think about it, the love you have for them and they have for you is based upon your mutual knowledge and respect for each other, right? You know your spouse because you love them, you've been with them. You know everything about them, their likes, their dislikes, their wants, the things they don't want. The same thing with our friends, right? Because we've been friends for so long, we know them personally. You get to the point where you've been married so long, you start answering questions for each other, right? So if we say that we can know our spouses, if we say that we can know our best friends, you know each other well, you understand each other, and that causes your love for each other to grow more and more, brethren, it's the same with our relationship with God. It's the same exact thing. How can I profess to love Him if I don't know Him? Would you just walk up to any stranger on the street and say, "Hey, I love you"? Never know what kind of response you would get in today's society. But you see, we can say that about each other, that we love each other because we know each other. We say that about our spouses because we know each other. We say that about our friends because we know each other. And the more we come to know God, the more we will love God, especially when we grow in our understanding of how much we do know Him. John says it in 1 John 3:16. Here we perceive that we love God because we know God. But how much do we truly know who God is? Not simply the basic steps of Christianity, thinking I'm obedient. We talked about this in our class this morning and we've said it before. It's not a checklist that we follow that by God might know that we love Him. And I told the class this last week too, the problem is in the church today is we've got too many people converted to baptism and not converted to Christ. They think simply getting wet and having their sins washed away shows their love. But brethren, that's just the first step. That's the very beginning of your walk as a Christian. I think about the church in Sardis, and you go down to Revelation 2:10, right? And it's interesting in respect and contextually how we think about this verse. Be thou faithful unto death. But really what Jesus is saying, you be faithful to me even if it requires your life. Now brethren, would you lay down your life for your spouse or your best friend? Jesus said, what greater love hath man than this than to lay down his life for a friend? And Jesus said, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Commandments, obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you follow me. So can our definition of love be defined the same way that God defines it? If not, then we need to redefine the terms of our relationship with the Lord. How do we come to know God? We come to know God through His holy inspired Word. We know the mind of God through His holy and inspired Word, John 16:12-15. We study and meditate upon the Word of God day and night like the psalmist writes in Psalm 1:1-3. We hide the Word in our heart, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119:105. We use it to direct our path, Psalm 119:11. All of these things encompass the idea of what it means to love God because we know Him based upon what He tells us in His Word. It's His love letter to us. I think I used this illustration maybe once before, and I can remember when I was in boot camp and we would get letters in from girlfriends and parents, and you hadn't had anything to read from home in a week, and you could smell the perfume as it came in the squad bay. And boy, we would get all excited at mail call that night. Guys were getting pictures of the girlfriends and seeing their parents again for the first time because they hadn't seen them in weeks. And you know what they did with those letters? They shoved them right in the bottom of their footlocker and they didn't worry about it. That's not what they did. We couldn't wait to get free time to sit down on our footlockers and start reading and smelling all the different perfumes going throughout the squad bay. Why? Because you wanted to hear from the person that you loved. You were more excited than anything to get into that, to know what was going on, and for them to tell you that they loved you and that they missed you. Brethren, the Lord misses us when we're not in His Word. He misses us when we don't know Him personally on a relationship level whereby we can say that we know Him based upon our obedience. But we profess it, we just don't show it. So just how does God define the love that we are to have for Him? 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Let me say that again. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You want to show God you love Him? Follow Him. Do what the Bible tells you to do. Live the Christian life faithfully. Even in the Old Testament, God always defined His love for them. You think about the Shema, which is what they quoted every time they came together in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus said later in the New Testament, with all your strength, with all your being, your love is to be shown not only through your actions, but also through your knowledge of who God is. And the only way I come to know Him is by knowing what His Word says. Again, you go back to Matthew 7. Jesus, you know, condemned these individuals. Even though they called Him Lord and said many good things in His name and professed to follow Him, Jesus said, you don't love me. You don't love me. You profess to love me, but you don't show me that you love me. But Lord, we've done so many good works, and we've cast out devils, and we've called Your name and all these wonderful things. Jesus said, no, you didn't. None of those things I asked you to do. None of those things were found within what I asked you to do concerning your life. None of those things I asked you to do. You did those things because you wanted to. You know, many times when I counsel young couples when they're having problems, usually it's based upon one person being selfish. One person wanting more than the other. One person not thinking about the other person, but only thinking about themselves. Is our relationship to God maybe the same way sometimes? One-sided? Maybe it's because we're selfish in our relationship with Him because we do what we want to do and not worried about what God wants. God said there's retribution for an action like that. Jesus said, I don't even know you if you want to act like that, if you want to be selfish. Love the Lord your God with all your ounce and every being of who you are. To give everything for it. Only those who do the Father's will love Him. He does my Father's will in heaven, Jesus says. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Later, James would say in James 1, 20 through 25, you're blessed if you're doers of the Word. So for me to receive the blessings, I'm putting Jesus Christ in His kingdom first, Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first His kingdom. First, Jesus always comes first, right? And the only way He comes first is by me putting His Word first. But sometimes, and we talked about this in our class this morning too, that's not always an easy thing. Somebody made the comment, Larry, you know, I work 4 10-hour days. I'm tired when I get home. I understand. And if you've got little ones and you're running kids here and there because of ball and basketball and plays and everything else, you're exhausted when you get home, right? I understand that, believe me. I remember being there when our boys were little and I was going to school full-time and working two jobs. I know. And I'll be the first to tell you, I didn't always put the Lord first. And shame on me for doing that. But how tired do you think Jesus was at Calvary? How beat down do you think He was? Do you think He wanted to be there? He even begged God through his obedience and that suffering that he went through in the garden to please let this cup pass from me. But he knew that it wasn't his will that was going to be done. It was God's will that was going to be done. So we profess our love by following him. Do we love God? Sure, we might say so. And we might profess that we do. And maybe even sincerely in some areas of our lives, we do love him. But brethren, if it's not in every area of our life, then we can't truly profess that. You know, all of those things are good and they shouldn't be ignored. But remember, loving God is the first step. However, ask yourselves this question. How well do you know him? I had a couple come to me one time that wanted to get married. He was a member of the church. She was not. I said, how long have you guys known each other? Oh, just 2 weeks. I said, "Ooh, Lord help me. 2 weeks, huh? I don't think you know yourself after 2 weeks. I said, don't you think you need to get to know each other just a little bit better? Maybe take some time and date and talk about each other and learn your likes and your dislikes. Talk about your families and your hobbies, all these other things. Oh no, boy, that narrow tunnel vision of puppy love, right? 6 months later, they were divorced. 6 months later. It's not to say you can't get married in a short amount of time. My grandparents were married for 3 days before they got married, and they were married for 50 years. But they didn't know each other. It was all based on a shallow concept of what true love is. Love isn't just getting the puppy dog look in your eyes and saying, oh, I love you. Love is like my wife says sometimes, honey, I love you, but I don't like you right now. Love is when you care about somebody more than you care about yourself. That's the definition of love. And Jesus cared more about us at Calvary than he did himself at that moment. Because he said, I'm here to do my Father's will. How much do you love God this morning? Are you willing to obey even if his revealed scripture goes against your most cherished beliefs this morning? Maybe something you don't agree with? Are you willing to put even God above your family, above yourself? Are you willing then to repent of the way you used to live your life, which wasn't based upon obedience to his scripture? You see, that's where the true love comes into play. When I have to admit to my Father in heaven that I haven't done everything the way he wanted me to do it, that's hard. That's not an easy thing to do. And are you willing to obey him no matter what? That and that alone shows, brethren, how much we truly love God. Do you love God this morning? Are you obeying God this morning in every aspect? So I want you to seriously ask yourselves, as just a moment, Brother Gene's going to lead us in our invitation song. And as we're standing singing this song, I want you to ask yourself, would God define your love for him according to his word based upon his standards? Or do you define your love for God based upon what you want to do in your standards? His standards tell us for us to be part of his family, there's something that we've got to do. Brethren, that obedience is based upon love, and we do it because we want to be part of it. To be part of the greatest family. You've got to repent of your sins, he said. Jesus said, if you don't, you'll perish, Luke 13:3. You've got to be willing to confess the sweet name of who Christ is and that he is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. And you've got to put them on in baptism this morning. Have your sins washed away, Acts 2:38. And if you're following God, but you don't love God, fix it today. Profess that love again. Start over as a Christian. We get a second chance if the Lord allows us. And today he's allowed us that opportunity to fix it. So fix it today. Let us pray with you. The elders will pray for you. God is going to forgive you. And then you can walk out of here today professing your love for God based upon how you show it and how you live it. Please do that today as together we stand and as we sing.